Srimad Bhagavad-gita, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 7. Yoga yukta vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma korva napi na lipyate yoga yukta, engaged in devotional service, vishuddha atma, a purified soul, jita atma, vijita atma, self-controlled, jita indriya, having conquered the senses, sarva-bhuta, to all living entities, atma-bhuta-atma, compassionate, korvan-api, although engaged in work, na, never, lipyate, is entangled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him, though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport, one who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because, as Arabian explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually as the soul cannot be slain. So spiritually no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reactions of work. Yoga yukta vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva-bhutatma bhutatma korvanapne lipyate. One who works in devotion is a pure soul who controls his mind and senses. He is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Though he is working, such a person is never entangled. This idea that one who's on the path is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him, is rather a general statement. In the sense that, as Prabhupada later goes on in the purport, to have everyone dear to you, one has to come to a high level of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the next chapter. Srin Midyaudasinama Dyastadveshu Bandishu Sudushva pita papeshu samabhudhira vishishate. First of all, he says that jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastha vijitendriha yukshite yogi samalostrasma kanchanaha. That a person is said to be self-realized and is said to be transcendental when he's situated in transcendence and is self-controlled and sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, is the same. In other words, equanimity of mind for the material nature is the first stage. And then equanimity of mind towards people is another stage. All different varieties of people. The friends, enemies, different, impartial, those who are pious, impious, etc., etc. To see everyone as a spiritual being is rather an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. And as far as everyone being dear to us, as we can see, even one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he was being criticized. A sane person would not criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there are many, most people are not so sane. Therefore, sometimes they're subject to criticism. Just like if you're a mad person, you're in an insane asylum, and your relatives come out of mercy to visit you, and you start cursing them. They realize you're crazy. Therefore, you can't differentiate between your friends and enemies. You think everyone is your enemy, including your own relatives. So similarly, in the material world, people are insane, and sometimes they even criticize those who are their benefactors. But it says, Krishna kirtana ganana tara paro premam ritambo nidhi dira dira jana priyo priyakaro. So, pujito. So it is said that the six Goswamis, they were dancing and chanting. And they were in ecstasy. And they were dear to both the Prabhupada translates adira as ruffians. And dira to those who are sober. They were equally dear to both of them. But, as we can see that not everyone appreciated the six Goswamis' endeavor. Nor does anyone appreciate pure devotees. Like, we have Ramachandra Khan, we have Haridas Thakur, a very advanced pure devotee, Namacharya, and Ramachandra Khan was not only envious of him, but he was even envious of Lord Nityananda. After he offended sufficiently Haridas Thakur, Ramachandra Khan went to Lord Nityananda was on tour, and he came with his other cowherd boyfriends to the house of Ramachandra Khan. And there, he wanted to stay overnight. But he didn't have a recommendation, so, no. So he came and he was in the mandapa, which is the outer ring of the house, because in the cultured Bengali, in the Vedic culture, or the culture of Bengali houses, they'd have an outer circle of the house where guests would be received. And the inner circle, the ladies would stay there and they wouldn't be seen. Lord Nityananda came to that place and he wanted to stay overnight. And Ramachandra's servant, Khan's servant, came and told Ramachandra Khan, Lord Nityananda's here with some of his cowherd boyfriends and they'd like to stay overnight. Is that all right? He said, no, get him out of here. He said, actually, this is not a very nice place for him to stay. He should go and stay in some cow herd, some cow shed somewhere. So the servant came back and told Lord Nityananda, sorry, Ramachandra Khan said this is not a suitable place for you. You should go and stay in a cow shed. So he said, actually, this place, Lord Nityananda said, is not even fit for a meat-eating Muslim. For cow killer. So he left. with his, in great anger with his friends. Not a good idea. Kilo Nityananda angry. So then Ramachandra Khan said to his servant, dig up the earth where his footprint stepped and throw it out of here. I mean, that's really too much. That's really envy. So the servant dug up the earth where Lord Nityananda and his associates had stepped, threw it out of the house, and then shortly afterwards, the local tax keeper, the Chaudhari, came, because actually Ramachandra Khan was keeping a good portion of the taxes that he collected for himself. And this Chaudhari, the Muslim Chaudhari, the tax collector, was envious. So he arrested Ramachandra Khan and his family, and in the very spot where Lord Nityananda was, he butchered a cow and roasted it for 3 days. And then he plundered the whole village where Ramachandra Khan was living. That the whole village got the reaction for his offenses against Lord Nityananda. So the moral of the story is that demons, they don't like Krishna. And they don't like his associates. Although deep inside, there may be some appreciation. But because of their envious nature, and because they're impelled by the modes of the material nature, they're always opposed to Krishna and his devotees. But those who are sane, most people are innocent, that when they come in contact with Krishna and the devotees, if they're actually advanced devotees, then there's some appreciation. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in the Jarikanda forest in ecstasy, and he stepped on a tiger. Now, generally, when you step on a tiger, I mean, that's it. you have one chance to step on a tiger, and no one's going to know about it because you're not going to be around to write about it. So Balabhadra, his servant at that time, was completely shocked. You know, I didn't think it was going to end like this. You know, he's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adya Leela. We're still in Madhya Leela, what's happening? But if Lord Chaitanya steps on you, even if you're a tiger, you get overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. So the tiger started to wave up and say, oh, Hare Krishna, thanks a lot. Step on my paw too, please. Is the tiger started to dance in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna. And the tiger started to chant Hare Krishna. So even the envy, of course, later on he was bathing, and crazy elephants came by, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu splashed water on them, and they started to chant. And he told them to chant Hare Krishna. They started to chant and roll on the ground in ecstasy, screaming in ecstasy. I mean, that's being empowered. And indeed, the whole forest was chanting. And then at one point, Balabhadra Charya was amazed because the deer and the tigers who were following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to embrace and kiss each other. So this is extraordinary power that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed. But Prabhupada said we're not so powerful that we can't get the animals to dance and chant, but at least we should try and get the people to dance and chant. So if we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, then the atmosphere changes, and even people sometimes are envious. They become appreciative of the devotee. When Narada Muni was passing through the forest, he came to the earth, and there was one hunter named Mrigari. Mriga means animal. I don't know if it means specifically a deer, just animal, Mriga. And Ari means the enemy. So Mrigari Imagine having Mrigari Das. You're the servant of the enemy of the animals. I don't know if anyone has, did anyone ever get that name? Mrigari Das. Probably the animals wouldn't like it. Oh, you're the one. You're the servant. Oh, you're the... We got enough trouble from him. What are you going to do to us? So Mrigari, he was famous because, as we know, he was half killing animals. I mean, and watching them suffer. Enjoying them suffering. Watching them suffering. So that's pretty low class. I mean, take some innocent animal and you kill it, half kill it, in order to enjoy its suffering. Narada Muni was observing all these suffering animals with broken limbs and arrows through them and suffering and pain, withering and pain. So then he saw there was Mrigari, and he stepped in front of him so he didn't kill the next animal. That's what Mrigari, at least he didn't shoot Narada Muni. He wasn't that demoniac. But he became angry, and he was about to curse Narada Muni or say some harsh words to him, but by Narada Muni's influence, because Narada Muni, wherever he goes, he brings Vaikuntha with him, because he's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So Mrigari couldn't say anything bad to him. He was like, the atmosphere was such that he became pacified. And even he offered Narada Muni, he said, why are you doing this? And Narada Muni explained to him that it's not good to have kill animals. And Mrigari offered him deer, any animal skin he wanted. Narada Muni said, no thanks. I just went shopping. I got enough clothes. I don't need animal skins. In any case, Mrigari became a great devotee by the influence of Narada Muni. But the point is that Narada Muni, because he was so Krishna conscious, that even an innocent person who was by bad training, was half killing animals and enjoying their suffering, became a devotee. Immediately changed his mentality. It's not a guarantee, that one will immediately change. After all, we have instances that others, when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, let's see, what's an instance where someone saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was not immediately pacified? I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quite powerful. Is there any instance where anyone became envious of Chaitanya, the Brahmin? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he saw a Brahmin on the Ganges, and the Brahmin looked at him and said, oh, you're the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You wouldn't allow me into Srivasanga during the kirtans. I curse you. And he broke his Brahmin thread. I curse you, you'll have no material happiness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to jump in ecstasy. He said, oh, thank you very much. You freed me from the... So here's an example of a Brahmin who didn't appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but gave him a curse, which wound up to be benediction. So that happens sometimes. There's so many examples of devotees, great devotees, who had an influence sometimes. What was that? Gadadhar, the shadow of Radharani, that there was one Kazi, famous for being cruel. He tortured the devotees. But one night, Gadadhar came to his house in the middle of the night and started to shout out the Kazi's name. And Kazi woke up and he said, who is it? And he said, it's Gadadhar. He said, oh, go back to sleep. It's late. So Gadadhar said, no, you know, first you have to chant Hare Krishna. So Kazi said, no, come back, you know, it's too late. Gadadhar said, no, first chant Hare Krishna. Oh, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Ah, you chant Hare Krishna. On the other hand, we have Shivas Pandit, a great devotee, Narada Muni himself. But this time, we have Gopal Chapula, who became so envious of Srivas Pandit that he took the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga and put it on his doorstep at night. That means it was, you know, Tali, a plate, and on the plate they had a red kind of flower, I forget the name of the Bauduka flower, a pot of wine, and other paraphernalia for worshiping Durga. And that morning, Srivas Pandit woke up and found on his doorstep this paraphernalia, because this Gopala Chapala wanted to defame Srivas Pandit, saying that actually he was a worshiper of Durga. He wasn't really a Vaishnav. He was just pretending that secretly at night he was worshiping Durga. Srivas Pandit saw this and he called all the respectable men in the village, come, and showed them this paraphernalia for worshiping Durga. And he said, just see, secretly at night I'm worshiping Durga. I just wanted you to know. I feel I got to, you know, confess. So these men said, who is this rascal who's put this paraphernalia there? And they asked for the hati. I guess the hati is the one who sweeps the... What, you know what the name of the sweeper is? I think it's hati or something. He asked the sweeper to come and sweep away the paraphernalia because it's untouchable. And then, of course, we know that Gopal Chapala, he contacted leprosy for offending Srivas Pandit and had to go outside the village. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing by on his tour, Gopal Chapala started to pray to him, please, you've come to save all the conditioned souls, all the suffering souls, and I have leprosy, please help me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually you're a rascal, you offended Srivas Pandit. My benediction is that you're going to live like, you're going to exist like this for 100 million births. Good luck. And he left. So the worms were eating his body for a while, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back after some time. And again he prayed to him and said, you know, what can I do? You know, I'm suffering so much. So he said, you have to go to Srivas Pandit and ask for forgiveness, which he did, and then he was benedicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His suffering ended. So the point is that generally speaking, an ordinary person, if he's innocent, will not be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of his devotees, but sometimes we see that they are. But this is due to their unfortunate condition, and even though some, who are sometimes unfortunate, if they're innocent, then they get influenced by devotees or by Krishna. And those who are the most unfortunate, they don't get any influence, any. They remain antagonistic. Only a very advanced Mahabhagavata or Krishna can actually help them. And therefore we should not try to associate with them, but avoid them, upeksha. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Regarding this Ramachandra Khan, it appears that the village suffered because of him. The village was being plundered for 3 days. So it looks like some kind of a case of collective karma.
Yes.
So how does
bad association.
How does it work? They didn't do some...
Well, they had the unfortunate karma somehow or another being connected with Ramachandra Khan. So it wasn't by accident. Obviously, crows usually stick together. So the people who happened to collect there were destined to get their reactions by dint of their association with Ramachandra Khan, who happened to be one of the leaders in the village. So people who took shelter of that village obviously had something coming to them, and they got it. Not that, you know, they're just innocently, you know, we just moved in. Last week, we don't even know who this guy is. What you're asking us for? No, there's some reason behind the whole thing. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, is there a devotee in history who didn't have this, envious...
A devotee who didn't have an envious?
Envious attacker.
Is there a devotee in history who didn't have an envious attacker?
Yeah, not even one.
Oh, well, I don't know the whole history, but I'm sure there must have been at least one. It probably won't be us, though. He had a lot of people. Yeah, it's the nature. Ramachandra Khan, he had the Qazi came and told him he had to convert, and he wouldn't do it, so he had him torched in 22 marketplaces. You know. I mean, if you become a real devotee, then many people are going to get on your case. Because no one came here to worship Krishna. They came here to get away from him. And if you're there, you're a bad reminder. You're exactly who they want to get rid of.
But at one point, I mean, even if you are not an advanced devotee, when you keep your distance, when you're not preaching a lot, people generally appreciate.
Yeah, they appreciate all the demons. When you act like a demon, all the other demons, they don't really appreciate you. Demons don't appreciate each other. But they just appreciate that you've fallen down like they are. The demons don't appreciate anyone. They appreciate their allies as long as they're an ally. But I wouldn't say because your allies today could be your enemies tomorrow. There's no real, genuine appreciation. But that kind of appreciation by the demons is a very bad sign. If the demons start praising the devotees, you know we're in trouble. We never heard. Did you ever hear Hiranyakashipu glorifying Vishnu or glorifying Prahlad Maharaj? Keep it up, kid. You know, you're doing pretty good. Show me how you're chanting. I always wanted to chant a few rounds myself. No, if Prahlad would have become a demon, Hiranyakashipu would have appreciated it. But as long as he remained a real devotee, there was no appreciation. Of course, Prahlad also didn't get very good marks in school. So. A little embarrassing for Hiranyakashipu. Kid was the last in class. Really slow learner. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai.